Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet. Do you like how I had to stop and think for a second? Crap. Which host am I? Okay, I guess that means it's a Friday. First, because I'm like, wait, who am I? Yeah. But then the other part is, oh, look at all the cool people that are here. Must be Friday. Yeah, I'm just super excited to be here with all of you. So let's start with our man on location, reporter in the field, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. God, two shows in a row this week with the British Tech Network. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Doing great. Here with my wife. She's doing some recovery, but she's doing great. And so she's chilling out. And I figured I'd jump on and be with you guys and have another show.
That's awesome. And for everyone that's thinking recovery, recovery from what? Okay, well, Kathy was in a big bar fight, and she cold cocked so many people, she actually dislocated a few fingers, and so
Oh.
she's in recovery from getting her hand patched back up.
There you go.
See, Jeff, I heard it differently. I heard it that it was David that she cold cocked and had the finger problem. So,
Yeah, it was in the bar fight.
yeah. Okay. Well, maybe, yeah, he got in the way. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it happens. I mean, it's all going down so fast, and people are moving around, and you throw a punch, and then you're like, "Oh, friendly fire! Didn't mean to do that one." And yeah, it happens. Yeah. Speaking of friendly, Patrice, how's it going?
I'm not friendly today.
Oh,
Uh-oh.
I don't believe that.
Okay,
I mean, you're
no,
wearing your Dongletown shirt.
I am, yes.
You have Pikachu behind you.
I do. No, I'm good. It's public holiday here. Went for a walk. Didn't do much other than that.
That's
Happy.
nice to
That
have a
actually
holiday.
sounds nice to me.
It does. It does. Yeah, and I'm working on some navigation plans for flying, so
Okay, well, that's cool.
challenge. Yeah, it's Friday.
That always puts me in a bad mood.
It does.
Flying.
Flying, yeah. Actually, it
Working
doesn't.
on navigation plans.
Yeah, really does. I actually like it. It's just like sometimes you're like, how the hell am I gonna do this? Like, will I recognize this? I don't know.
You want me to get your navigation plans put together for you?
Yes.
It'll only take me a minute, and I've got crayons. This is going to be great.
Hey, that actually would be cool, yes.
The crayons are sharp.
I've printed like aerodrome maps and stuff, but
Nice.
I'm actually thinking I probably need a laser print, like a color laser printer, because black and white doesn't work so
I'm with you on that. Yep. If I felt like I needed a printer enough to actually have one in my place now, it would be a color laser printer.
Yeah, I have one behind me. I can see that
I do
there.
see, I do see, yeah.
And when I bought it like many years ago, I was like, yeah, I'm only ever printing like documents and text, black and white, so black and white is fine. But I'm thinking it's probably would be a good idea because the maps come in color, and the colors actually mean things, and
Yeah.
without it's kind of pointless. So I might order one from Amazon.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about your new color laser printer,
Yeah,
which
although
I'm certain won't be from HP.
nope, not HP. It's probably gonna be Brother again because they seem to be the only
That makes
reliable
sense.
company.
Yep.
Yeah,
It
the
would
only
be
thing is I like
Brother for
that
me too.
it's small, so like the laser printers or the color laser are probably gonna be a little bit bigger, so
Yeah, which makes sense. More toner cartridges.
yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, speaking of colorful, Marty, how are you?
I'm trying to get back to the medical theme of this show so far. I went to a dermatologist a couple of days ago, which is where old people go to get things burned off.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're younger, just use a lit cigarette. But when you're older, you go to a professional. And what shocked me when I walked in, what shocked me when I walked in was they have an Instagram page. And I thought, what the hell would a dermatologist put on their Instagram page?
Oh, I think we both know.
Yes. Yeah, all of their pictures are filed under, does this look like cancer? So, yeah. It's and then they burned something off of me, and I had to take my pants off for them to burn it. And the doctor said, well, you've got a wedding coming up for my son. Do you want to do this now, or do you want to do this after the wedding?
If you're feeling great, with
and
it, work up to three.
I said, this is not a pants optional wedding, so you can do it now. So.
You know, the only disappointing part out of that whole story is it's not a pants optional.
Not a pants optional wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. But considering you had to do that, now I'm feeling like the Donkletown t-shirts should be brought back, but as underpants.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a dongle they burned off of me, but...
That's lucky.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
Marty, I go to the dermatologist on a fairly regular basis because I'm taking my dad there. And and when we come in, his dermatologist already has the freeze can in hand and ready to go.
Yeah, I asked if I could get one for cocktails, you know.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mr.
I'm
Cocktail
glad to
himself.
Be here. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be missing pieces.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes for a better segue than cocktails. So, okay, I'll do that instead. Speaking of missing pieces, Chuck, how are you?
Thank you, Jeff.
It's just about the setup and delivery.
Yes,
it's not a commentary.
No, well, not that you know of, but we're not going to get into that.
Or maybe I do.
Yeah. I've been on someone's Instagram page. That's not good. you know, completely off topic here, but sort of on topic to Patrice's comment. I hadn't even thought about a color laser in I don't know when. So I just popped up on Amazon and this, think about this for a second. So the Brother compact digital color laser printer is $344.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is crazy affordable, but right below it is a Brother wireless color inkjet all-in-one printer for $89.
Yep.
Yeah, replacement ink cartridges cost more than the printer.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, well, but that's almost a throwaway. I mean, if I go to Staples and try to get five documents printed, they're probably going to charge me $90. So, you know, that's not very ecologically sound, but my God, $89, that's crazy.
Yeah. I buy them all the time for work. So, I mean, I just about $300 for an HP. Color laser jet. But they're going to get you on the ink. I mean, that's what kills you.
Yeah, well, it has to have consumables. But I thought $89. I mean, again, that's almost use it until the cartridges that come with it burn out, and then you know go elsewhere. So
actually, unfortunately, it'd be quick because they're starter cartridges. So
yeah. So other than that revelation, I'm doing real good. Awesome. I feel bad that I've missed a few of these, but I'm delighted to be back, and hopefully life will be a little more stable right now.
We can live in hope. Yeah. So, well, then we should probably talk about a little bit of news. And and once again, news. We have an obligatory story. And the
same procedure as every quarter.
Same procedure as every quarter. Yep.
Yeah.
And the only reason I didn't crib this from Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS is because this news happened after he recorded. Yep. And this is Apple's earnings report. And by the way, Dave, thank you for letting us crib from your show notes. You rock.
Of course.
So, it's been a weird busy week for me. So I completely missed the earnings report call. And so I'm relying on the hard work of other people to be able to talk about this. So in this case, that would be Jason Snell.
Yes, he's the best.
And Six yeah. Colors.
Yeah.
And,
but I can give you an insight too, because I listened to it live.
Please do.
I did listen to it as well.
Yeah. All right. I had some time on my hands. So.
Take it away.
Go ahead, Patrice.
I mean, to summarize, Apple made all the money. Apple made more money in the quarter than they've ever made in this quarter, which is like, it's not ever their highest quarter, right? Because it's the third quarter of the year. No, the second quarter of the year. Because their quarter start with the Christmas quarter.
I was thinking it was interesting that they pinpointed and was direct to the question about, so what about the delays? And they kind of said, hey, delays are going to happen. They're going to happen with the Mac Mini. They're going to happen with the Mac Studio. And they're going to happen with the Mac Neo.
Yeah. I mean.
And I thought it was rather transparent for them to say that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
No, but they kind of have to, because it has financial impact, right? If they could deliver more in a quarter, then the sales would be higher, because Apple always counts shipped devices, not ordered devices.
Right.
So that makes a difference. No, but it's like, I mean, they were quite open also about the MacBook Neo, especially, and the Mini and the Studio, why that is, which was interesting.
Right.
Like they said, I mean, we knew it, right? But it's like that the Studio and the Mini are very high demand for AI. I mean, they even mentioned the Perplexity thing, where Perplexity is basically using Minis for the AI device. For the Neo, they said, we were very bullish about it, and we still underestimated it. They've had the highest ever new to the Mac category with the Neo. So, yeah, but other than that, I mean, the obvious things, like Apple is also now starting to see the impact of RAM pricing, and actually more so TSMC production problems. There was something that they mentioned that I had to look up, because I was like, what is that? Carry-in inventory. And I was like, what the hell is that? It is actually the RAM and the parts they've ordered and already somewhere in the warehouse, or already ordered. So that's what's called carry-in inventory. I was like, what the hell is that? Is that like people bringing back their MacBooks and they're putting the parts in new MacBooks? No, it's not. That would have been interesting, though. It's simply they had already pre-ordered a lot of their stuff, which Apple has a lot of long-term contracts. So the impact of the higher RAM prices and whatever was not so high yet, because they had that still. But of course, that is a short-term thing, and as the quarters progress, it gets less and less, especially as they are also starting to produce new things like iPhones and whatever. But the TSMC thing is more interesting or more concerning, I would say, because they're having a hard time producing the highest end chips right now, mostly because of Nvidia. Even though Apple has a preferential agreement with TSMC and all of that, it's still taking away capacity that otherwise could be taken by Apple. Right. So
Tim said afterwards, I saw some notes on there too, that this is temporary. We can't promise that the prices aren't going to go up because of all these shortages, because if they can't, if there is shortages, they're going to pay high prices on memory and chips. That there's no guarantees that there's potential possibility that some pricing is going to go up. So, just to note that was interesting. But let's go back real quick on the Mac Mini. It they under forecast is what really what happened, isn't it? I mean, they never anticipated at all. Same thing with the Neo; they never expected that it was going to be just a huge seller. And again, like you said, it was transparent. Is the fact that they were transparent about it during the earnings call and told that and admitted it, that you know it happens that they you don't want to be sitting on lots of inventory, but when if they don't sell, and that's the game of business, unfortunately.
Yep. It's also, I mean, when it sits in a warehouse somewhere, it costs you, right? Because the warehouse storage is also not free. So Apple's usually targeting what was it, 4 to 6 weeks, I think is their usual thing. 4 to 6 weeks channel inventory. So from delivering it to from getting the parts to delivering to the customer, 4 to 6 weeks. That's kind of their target.
And some orders are even getting canceled. I've been hearing too.
Yeah, but I mean, that is probably less. So some might, yes. If you need something urgently, you might do that. But most people just wait.
Yeah. In the enterprise, you got the channels. They can sort of do a much more creative way of sourcing. They can scan every single store around the country in the U.S. If there's some place has something that you need critically. But inventories dwindle in the stores too.
But go ahead, Marty.
Go ahead, Chuck.
No, no, please go ahead.
I was going to say a couple of things that perked my interest was the discussion and somebody asked the question, so what are you going to do about the chip shortage and the potential of looking at another provider for dealing with the chips, not just dealing with one in terms of the chips. Mm-hmm. Another thing that came out was... and I'm sure they're doing this deliberately, and you've seen some press on it now. Kansas City School District, which is a fairly large school district, is replacing their Chromebooks with Neos. And so that's good press for Apple, obviously. And then there was an allusion to the question. I don't know if it was an allusion about, you know, how companies are now suing the government or making a case for the government about the tariff losses that they did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tim was very diplomatic in his response and said, we are approaching that process in the way that process needs to be approached. You know, so there was some affirmation that they're not going to sit and take that loss without going through the appropriate channels to be able to... deal with our government's decision around that.
I mean, it was kind of a funny answer because Tim basically said, yeah, we're going to take the billions that we get back. So we have applied for them, basically. I mean, he said we followed the process, right, as you said. But they're like, oh yeah, but we're going to reinvest them. If you paid attention to how he phrased that, it was really interesting. Right. And I think it was very clearly prepared before the new discussion would come. Because he was like, yeah, we're going to reinvest it in American design and manufacturing. But he didn't say American manufacturing. So it could be designed in America and manufactured somewhere else again. Right. But he didn't. You can interpret it both ways the way he said it. And I think that was very clever.
I'm sure that was very intentional.
Yes.
Chuck, you had something?
Well, just two points. First of all, on the RAM, you know, I just find it amusing that, I mean, Apple is as good as they are, they're not magic. And so some of these, I don't know what answers they expected. You know, they expect him to say, you know, we have the secret cavern that we mine RAM out of. You know, prices are going up with for everything. And so, Apple maybe can provide a cushion a little bit because of what they've had stored. But the way they're selling all the products, they're going to burn through that inventory. It's going to have to be replaced at a higher price. And therefore, we're going to pay more. That's not a hard equation. And I just think I feel like some of the analysts waste their time and their questions. And on the other thing, you know, the American manufacturing, I just think you're seeing a master at work with, you know, with dancing between shareholders and a potentially hostile administration and trying to give everybody enough of what they need. I think it's a classic compromise. Nobody really likes what exactly all of it, but they're getting enough of what they need that they can live with. So.
Yep. So I'm looking at some of these numbers from the six colors charts. Yep. And okay, so total revenue $111.2 billion for the quarter. Billion. Uh-huh. And yeah, okay, so that's a 17% year-over-year increase. And then when we look at revenue by product category, iPhone is still the majority. But that number is going down a little bit because it's at 51%, while services is increasing, and so that's where the iPhone percentage is coming down from service increase. So services is up to 28%, and yeah, and Mac and iPad are and the health and what is WHA? What would that be?
Wearables, health, and
apps.
And no, not apps.
And
apps, okay, on, apps that? Under services.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Wearables, health. Amazing. Okay. So those are all floating around each other. iPads are 6%, Mac is 8%, and WHA is 7%. So, services are increasing, which I firmly believe is exactly what Tim Cook wanted and has strategized for. Because long term, that's going to be a very, very significant, more so than now, part of their revenue strategy. Profit $29.6 billion, which is up 19% year over year, and their gross margin is 29.3%.
So the stock market noticed it's up over 5% this morning.
Yeah, let's see,
it's 283.
And let's see, iPhone revenue $57 billion. Which is up 22% year over year. Mac revenue $8.4 billion.
It's wearables, home, and accessories. I found it funny.
Wearable, home, accessories. Okay.
Wearables, home, and accessories.
Okay.
Apple TV.
Wearables, home, accessories.
Yeah, Apple TV.
I'll try to remember that.
HomePods.
Although I liked it. Often. I did like it as amazing.
Jazz hands.
Mac sales are up 6% year over year, and you release new products that people are interested in, and you make more sales. There you go.
You helped.
100%.
Yes.
If they could make enough.
If they can make enough, yep.
Yeah.
And let's see, year over year change for services, 16% increase.
Yeah. That is a pretty standard increase for Apple. Like, you see the numbers for services. It's really interesting. There was a chart, I think, on Six Colors with all the charts. Where it's like the product category is quite cyclical, right? There is the Christmas quarter where it goes up, and then like sometimes the first quarter has still a little bit of that lag stuff, and then it goes down again. The services is a pretty much like not flat, like increasing line, but like pretty constant, which makes sense, right? Because it's mostly apps and subscriptions and so on, which, I mean, they're less cyclical. Like, you don't buy apps like only around Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Looking at the bar chart for services, it looks like stair steps.
Yeah.
Each quarter, which, a little bit higher.
Yeah, which is, I think, also what Tim originally said, that was there. their prediction and their goal.
Yeah, so they are definitely nailing that goal.
Yeah.
So
it's bigger than I think a lot of Fortune 500 companies at this point.
What was that revenue again? $31 billion in revenue,
just in a quarter. In a quarter, not in a year.
Yeah. There are a lot of companies that would be ecstatic to have $31 billion in a year.
Yeah. So that's like $120 billion a year or something. Like that is pretty big.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. So, all right. Well, any other thoughts on the earnings report?
Yeah, I've got a question for Dave and Patrice. If you heard this, because I was proctoring the exam, watching students not cheat while listening to this in my earbud, they said the delays in shipping of products like the Mac Mini and the Studio are not a result of SSD issues, but a result of, and I couldn't understand what he said. He said it twice.
The process nodes, what they call it, the high-end process nodes. It's basically what I said, TSMC having limits in capacity, and it's not something you can ramp up quickly, right? You can't just build new factories and whatever.
Right.
So that's why. Like, it's the high-end processing nodes. That's what Tim always calls it. It's the M-series processors mostly. A little bit else the A-series, but mostly the M-series processors.
Because of the AI demand, that was the biggest reason why this has been happening.
Yeah, NVIDIA is like TSMC is producing a lot of the NVIDIA AI chips, and Apple does have preferential agreements with TSMC. But at some point, resources are committed, and you can't just go back and say, "Oh no, NVIDIA, sorry, we can't produce it." Like when you commit to it, you commit to it.
Yeah. So, okay. Thanks for that.
They're ramping up. They're investing in China and in Arizona. They mentioned with TSMC, in Taiwan and in Arizona. They mentioned, but that takes time, right? You have to expand factories, build new like machines and all of that. That's not something that you can do, like within a month or two.
And they were already talking about moving some of the production of the Mac Minis into the U.S. So that's supposed to happen soon as well.
Yeah, but that probably doesn't help all that much.
Doesn't help much.
Yeah, and I mean,
it might help the U.S., but a little bit.
There were some questions about do they see any impact on the iPhone production capacity wise, which Tim, as usual, dodged and didn't say much because, of course, they don't talk about future products. But that also tells you he probably doesn't, and they've planned that. Because if there was an impact, they might have to disclose that.
Right.
Or at least disclose it indirectly somehow.
So two other quick things. And I don't, if you said it, I'm sorry, I missed it. But services reached a new all-time high, which is what,
you know,
because
that.
We've, okay, yeah, I'm sorry that I missed it. But yeah, I was kind of excited about that. But the other one that got me, did you guys hear Amit Daryanani say that he asked his agentic phone question, which you knew Tim was not going to answer.
Nope.
But he threw in and said, "Yeah, I really don't understand even what that means. But Tim, what do you think?" And I was like, what?
Oh my god!
That was a pretty dumb question.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's always a dumb question somewhere.
Yeah, but I was surprised to hear it come from him. But you know, just. Okay, ask the dumb question, fine. But don't admit that you're dumb too. I'm sorry, but you know.
I mean, there's the people, like, I don't know. Like, you have, let's say, two, maybe three, because some of them are kind of throwing two questions at once in. You have two questions to ask. Why do you waste the question on something stupid? Like, I never get that. I'm like, do you think Apple would ever disclose a future product? Never going to happen. So, like, why even ask?
I think it was a reaction to OpenAI talking about making their own phone.
Yeah.
And I think we covered that on Dave's show a little bit. And his question, when I heard it, sounded as if, is Apple going to, you know, do something with their AI that's going to have agents in it, like apparently OpenAI is rumored to be doing? And again, future product. I think it's wise for Tim not to comment at all on what Apple intelligence is going to look like in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, I think yeah. Tim learned his lesson on that one.
Yeah.
From WWDC a couple years ago.
Because right. Yeah. it would force information out into the public that's speculative at that point and could influence investment, stock, yeah. things like that. He doesn't want to mess up with the FEC.
No. If he announced it, it's akin to announcements at WWDC.
Yeah.
Like it's the same impact. No, it's like I said, I don't get it. The questions about future products. I mean, with someone like Elon Musk or whatever, you could probably do that, and he might be crazy or stoned or whatever, and just do it and just tell you, right? Like, you never know. He's a wild card. Tim Cook is not that type of person. Apple is not that type of company. No. They're never. I mean, even Steve Jobs never said anything like that.
How do you know when he's stoned and when he's not stoned?
Okay, other question.
Just assume he is.
Just assume he is. Okay, maybe so, I've never seen him not stoned. We never know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I did throw another link into the live stream that's related to the earnings report, and it was about Apple saying that the iPhone 17 is their most popular lineup in history. So apparently very popular, and it's gaining market share.
Yes.
And so doing better than Android phones.
Yeah.
As far as gaining market share.
Yeah. I mean, also not a surprise. I mean, Apple is selling more phones than ever. So of course the 17 line, which is most of their phones sold, is the most popular. I think that's not a surprise.
Well, then, especially the 17E. I mean, I talked about it at great length, you know, Mac user groups and every place else, and I have one, and it's an unbelievable phone. I mean, the 16E was a joke. I mean, for why they were doing that, it was beyond me. So,
yeah. So
own that joke. Oh, go ahead. By the way,
no, literally.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, another story I wanted to make sure we hit before we get to like cool things and stuff. And this one I bring for our Vision Pro crew. And this is a report from Mac Rumors.
Not that one.
See, I knew I'd bring it and it would create a lively discussion. So Mac Rumors is reporting that their sources say Apple is bailing on Vision Pro because the M5 version didn't goose sales the way that they wanted. And I apologize if I triggered you.
I really don't want to talk so much today, but I kind of have to, I think.
No, Patrice, I knew what I was doing when I brought this story.
I need a moment to get Elon'd up.
Yes. Yeah. Elon in court. Yes. So I think I summarized it in a chat earlier, the best. Anybody who knows anything about one, hardware manufacturer, hardware engineering and new products, and two, Apple, and has more than three brain cells, could tell you that this whole story is a big bag of BS, right?
Clickbait.
So it's clickbait. It's the Apple is doomed, just in a different way. So I always say, like, I'm gonna print the T-shirt at some point, like Apple Inc. doomed since 1976, because
I love it.
Tim has said it. Like, we've heard it from the C-suite or the like. The high levels from Apple themselves, they never ever expected the Vision Pro to be a smash out iPhone. We're gonna sell billions of them. Success.
Neo.
It's I think anybody who even thinks about it for 5 seconds will realize why we've talked about it on the show. The people in the know, and what I know internally, there's been no meaningful change in their planning. They're continuing with what was planned. The M5 was never ever supposed to be we're going to have a big sales boost. It did probably add a little bit to the market, because I know some people that bought M5s and then sold the M2s, so there's more Vision Pros out there simply. But it was never, any spec bump, nothing changed. It was literally, they took out the M2, they put in the M5. That was it. Did anybody expect, all of a sudden they're going to sell millions of them? No, Apple didn't. Nobody did. But what you see is the continued investment of Apple in the Vision Pro. They bumped the chip, they add more content, they add more services. They did a whole freaking 2-day, media event last year, and was it October? They're internally, they've said so as much internally. They're very excited about it. They see it as the future. Will it work out? Who knows? Apple doesn't even know. But it is continuing, and nothing has changed here. It's just some people might have switched away, but that's more about, this was a new product in secret, and now it is simply part of their organization. But there were no rumors that people were pulled away, or we've heard with the Titan project, where there was a letter or a town hall or whatever, and they're like, hey, we're shutting this down. We've heard nothing like that. So this is just clickbait. It's bullshit. Don't listen to it. The people who have the Vision Pro, most of them enjoy them. Not everybody, because it's like every product. Not everybody who has an iPhone enjoys it. It's just, that's how life is.
And I was watching, I've been following back on Twitter. Don't ask me why, but
why?
It helps. I mean, I'm just having notifications come to me because I find it more interesting. So I'm following Gurman on Bloomberg, and there's so many people that hadn't hit him up because the story came out. This story came out from Mac Rumors is the one first that said, basically the Vision Pro's doomed. But I mean, the whole intent of the VR AR world is the next best thing that's going to happen is the glasses. They've been talking about the glasses for a while, and the technology is, they're going to continue to evolve it. I mean, we talked about a story on my show about, was it from Pat and the Apple, that said, here's the new technology they're going to have. It's going to go into the glasses to work similarly to what the Vision Pro does. That's where I think Apple is really putting their focus on. Yeah, they'll probably still have a Vision Pro device, but I think they're just like what they did with the Neo. They're going to look at this as an entry point to maybe get this going with the glasses, because the glasses are popular, but I think that's where it's going to go.
I kind of feel I'm going to be the only one on this panel that says Vision Pro is doomed. Vision Pro as we know it is doomed.
Yeah, that's
I think
always
what's going to happen in 2028. Is there'll be a Vision Pro 2 that'll be geared towards enterprise and geared towards training and geared towards companies that are going to use it. That is going to be lighter, better, faster, whatever. It will also have entertainment capabilities that you're not going to get in glasses, because I can't see any way they can do 360 in glasses
not yet.
Without just being disruptive. Yeah. And too disruptive for people walking down the street or whatever. Glasses are going to be the consumer product from everything they learn from Vision Pro 1 and the M5 and the kinds of testing that they've done with it. So yeah, Vision Pro is doomed.
No, is that clickbait, Marty? Because I agree.
What I'm saying?
What you're saying? No, I agree. I mean, it's always, the Vision Pro we know today is the worst Vision Pro that will ever exist. There will be a version 2. I think my personal prediction is mid-2027. Given how the world is, could be pushed out. We never know. But yeah, Of course, there will be a new device. It will change in something. I mean, the Apple Watch changed from the first version to this zero version to the first and after. The iPhone that we have today is different than the iPhone we had originally. The Mac that was introduced in 1984 is not the Mac we have today.
No,
that's just evolution. Yeah, and to be fair, Apple has been working on that probably for the last 3 years. This is not new.
Jeff, I hope you don't mind me sort of taking this off topic on topic, but when I saw this article,
go for it.
Yeah. Well, when I saw this article, it reminded me of a post that John Gruber did that I just threw in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And this had to do with Apple abandoning MagSafe. So they're going to abandon MagSafe and get rid of the Vision Pro. It's like, okay, what are you guys smoking? I mean, really? This is literally the only place I've seen that this was sourced is this one article.
Yes.
Because I've done Jeff's thing of, trying to chase all these subsequent articles back. This is it.
There's no substance behind it. There's no source or anything behind it.
Yeah. So, both of these felt like clickbait. And I thought, this just seems so appropriate to bring up.
Yeah, and I'm throwing in John's take on this rumor specifically because he kind of summed it up.
Yeah,
I didn't
all
see
I need
that
you
one.
Do is scroll to the end and read what John says.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I love what Gruber says. What are they smoking there over at MacWorks?
I mean, okay, and that's a fair question.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legal, mostly. So.
Yeah. It is here.
Exactly.
Excuse me.
It is here
all right,
too.
So
probably in California, right? So.
Yeah. So before we move on, I think the big takeaway from all of this is Vision Pro is doomed, and it's Chuck's fault because he hasn't bought one.
There
yes.
go.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true.
Yes. Wow, that's a lot of guilt to throw on me on a Friday morning. Come on, guys.
It's only $3,000 worth of guilt.
Hey, Jeff, where's yours?
Yeah, there you go.
Chuck said he was buying me one, and
that's $6,000 worth of guilt.
Funny. So anyhow, what's not disappointing, unlike our lack of Vision Pros, is Odd Technology, and Odd Technologies is. Oh, they put the awe in awesome. Did I come up with that before and forget, or is that new for me?
No, you said this before.
Okay, well, the fact that I forgot and came up with it again just now, it gives me the same delight that I had the first time I came up with the line. Yay for recycling. Anyhow, what's making them great is that they are supporting the British Tech Network. They're making sure that we have all the resources to live stream multiple shows to you every single week. They're making sure that we have the server space we need for our website and to host all of the show files. That way you can watch and listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. You can, here's a project for someone. Go through episodes and make a supercut of all of us with love poking fun at Chuck for not having a Vision Pro, and it'll be great. We'll show it at the holiday parties. But the fact that they Odd Technologies, that's the they in this situation, that they are doing this and helping us out is great, because it takes a lot of resources to bring live shows to all of you every single week. So we really appreciate all the help that they're giving us. And you could probably appreciate what they're doing even beyond helping us if you need to have remote monitoring, say for a construction site, for your railroad, whatever, hit them up because they have the gear so that you can have all the remote monitoring that you need, including the video cameras, and they'll get everything set up for you and have you in business. That's what they do. So go check them out at their website, Awe Technologies. That's awetechnologies.co.uk. Thanks, Awe Technologies, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, I clearly need a whole posse of support. I mean, just, yeah. Anyhow, at the head of that posse, and I apologize in advance, that would be you, Patrice. So, you know, no, yeah. One of these days, I'm going to be like wealthy, but not like criminal wealthy. And then I'll be able to pay for everyone's therapy. Until then, I can only offer apologies. But in the meantime, Patrice, do you mind helping me out and telling people about the live chat?
Okay, I'll try. So we have a really cool live chat system. It's a live streaming system, actually. It's kind of like YouTube or one of the many other streaming platforms. You have, like, you go to a website, which in our case is live.britishtechnetwork.com, and then you, that's it. Like, that's literally, there is no step two, because that's literally how easy it is. You just click there, you go there, and it starts streaming when we are recording, which is every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also Thursdays if you want, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If we talk about chip design sometimes, or chips in general, or yesterday we talked about Elon Musk a lot. So that was one of four articles I brought about Elon Musk yesterday. Yeah. That was funny. It's a really cool system, and you can just talk to us. We put the links in there for the stories, for extra bits and pieces, for cool things that are coming up. I see Dave and Chuck have already done so, and that's it. So it's just, that's how easy it is. It's really cool. If you are like in the market for just getting the links later, for whatever reason, I don't know, you want to look something up, there's a transcript on our website. Just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then pick the date that is May 1st today, May 1st, 2026, for today's show. Whatever date you pick, you will see what we talked about in chat. So May 1st for today's show. And yeah, that's it. That's how easy it is.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that.
And youthful Swirlies just left the chat, whoever that was.
Oh,
I think it was Dave. That was Dave. That was Dave.
Oh. Yeah. Well, anyhow, Patrice, thank you for doing that. Even when you're not feeling on your top game,
it's only one voice. It's all good.
It's. Even when your voice is not on top game, mm-hmm. still sounds better coming from you.
Hope so.
So Mr. Swirlies, Dave, tell us about your cool thing, please.
Yeah, Patrice, I think you're the one originally hooked me on to this to the brand Tom Talk for the case.
Yes, I did,
and I absolutely love it. And of course, I had the MacBook Pro I wanted to update the case for. And this one is kind of cool because the fact it also comes with an extra pouch to put your accessories in too. So you got the standard Tomcat case we know about. It's got great padding around the laptop, and it's got the pouch in the front where you keep your adapter and the power and the MagSafe cord. But this also has an extra pouch you can put other accessories in. It does fit pretty well for the most part. I have a 14 inch, so it's going to be pretty good. But it comes in a 13 and a 16, so you can do it with the Air or the 16-inch MacBook Pro. But it's great quality, and $34 US is like nothing. It's such a great price, and the quality is just amazing. So highly recommend this case, and thanks, Patrice, that hooked me on this, and so I've been buying them ever since. And
you're welcome.
For the knee, got one for the Neo too. So it's a really good case. So check it out.
Awesome.
I got two of them.
Yeah.
Patrice, you just channeled your inner Dave.
Yes.
Within arm's reach. There it
within
was.
Within arm's reach. There it was.
There's not much for me to reach here.
Yeah, well, someone had to step up.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you're on location today, so within arm's reach is, it's more difficult. So
the stuff he has in arm's
picking up the slack.
The stuff he has in arm's reach, we probably don't want.
Right, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Got my Mac stuff case. There you go.
Oh, I have one of those around here somewhere too. I think there's stuff in it. It's probably stuff I need, and I can't find the case. Yeah. So, awesome. All right, Chuck, it is your turn.
Okay. This week, I'm going to pick the Skosh Foundit Charge 32-watt car charger. This is a multi-port cigarette lighter power point adapter, depending on what you want to call it, that you plug in, and then you have two ports. You have a USB fast charging port, of course, and you also have a 12-watt USB-A port. The USB-C port is 20 watts. But the cool thing about this is that it has built-in location finding, it's compatible with Find My. So you put this in your car, and it's serving a double purpose. It's letting you charge devices and also giving you a way to track your car without an AirTag that you have to tuck up, somewhere, just put it down in the seat or whatever and never be able to find it again. It is only $20, and that's basically cheaper than an AirTag right now. So, yeah. And it stays powered, so you never have to worry about the battery. A lot of advantages to this. So, and I've got one in my car. I did have an AirTag in my car. Now I've taken that AirTag out of my car and using it for something else. And now if my car goes missing, I will be able to find it. Or if I park it in a parking lot and can't remember where I put it, I can find it. So, course, it's from Skosh, which is a great name. So mm-hmm. It's not just some crazy knockoff company you've never heard of before. I really like it. It's, again, it serves multiple purposes, and it's Skosh.
And who would know that that's a tracker? Because normally that's just, it's a cigarette lighter adapter for power, huh? Because someone's trying to steal a car and they search around for AirTag, they're not going to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless they just, this becomes a really common thing, Dave, you're right. There's no reason not to have this in your car.
No, it's a great idea.
That's super cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
I hope I spent your money.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at what Dave brought and now what you brought. And Marty, I'm afraid to actually look at your links. Because everyone's spending money for me today, which I guess that's just karma in action, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Marty, okay, tell me how you're spending my money today.
Well, here's the story behind these two purchases. I have been appropriately accused of typing too loud when I'm on microphone.
Yeah.
And it could be that my microphone was a little too close to the keyboard, and now it's a little closer to me. But I took this accusation seriously because I thought it was a truth that I needed to address, and I felt some internal shame about it. So, Jeff, when I feel shame, what do?
You make all of us feel shame.
No.
You eat cookies. You eat cookies. You shop. That was my third choice. Shop.
Yeah. So I went on a hunt to try and find a very, very quiet keyboard. And I had to give up some sacrifices for that. And then I went a little bit further because I heard someone or read someone had put some sort of padding underneath their keyboard. Mine has been, you know, aluminum keyboard on top of hard desk, which also magnifies the sound. And of course, the microphone is attached to the same desk. So I'm getting that. So I went with the Logitech MX Keys Mini Minimalist Wireless Illuminated Keyboard. I don't want a big, long keyboard with the numbers on it. The small one is great. And I have been enjoying it. The feel is a lot different than the Apple. And it seems to be at least a little quieter with my Hulk smash hands, or, you know, catcher's mitt is what I like to say, as I type. So I'm really enjoying the feel of it, $99. And then I took it a step further and went and picked up a pad. And I searched for a silencing pad, and Glorious is the name of the business that makes these thing, game sounding dampening keyboard mat. And it sits on your, I have it on my, you know, my slippery plastic desk. And it's got grip on the bottom so it doesn't move around, and it does seem to not, it does seem to absorb some of the shock when I type. So out of guilt comes greatness. So thank you guys. Just keep shaming me. It's that old Catholic shame that keeps me growing.
Yeah, I've got a desk pad that's on my desk. So I think that's what's probably helping me dampen the any noise when I'm on with you guys. So because I have the Apple, I use the Apple Magic Keyboard to with the Touch ID. So
yeah.
In fact, Patrice, I have a pink one.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So, so it doesn't seem to make a lot of noise, but this is a good alternative.
Marty, excellent pick. I dodged that that credit card hit because I already have my Matthias Bluetooth keyboard that I use when I'm on shows. Because my regular keyboard, my Keychron mechanical switches, is super loud. But if I didn't already have what I need, then this would be very enticing. So I'm buying it in spirit, even though I'm not actually buying it. Okay, awesome. All right, and Patrice, I just clicked your link, and my first thought was pink. And pink. Then I looked to see what it was.
Yeah, it comes in different colors. So since we talked about cases, someone asked me about this the other day. So I picked it, I checked 3 years ago already, almost exactly. But I'm going to redo that. So this is the company is called Finty. There's probably, I don't know, you know, Chinese three multiple letter names, doesn't matter. This is a rugged case. So the reason I have two different ones. So this is the lilac one. I have one with my black MacBook. It's in black. There's the one I linked to is in pink. Like you can have it in different colors, like five or six different colors, I think. Probably a nice blue. The reason I picked this is I travel. Well, I used to travel more, but I still travel a bit. And more than once in the past, hotel reception desk, whatever, I dropped my bag and didn't destroy the MacBook, but kind of damaged it. So that was kind of reason number one to get like a rugged case like that. And it's really nice. Like it's really nicely padded, like the corners are a little bit bigger and whatever. So like it holds up really nice. It's really well built. I've never had any problems that day. Like I've had other cases where they fall apart after time because it's just cheap plastic. This is really, really well done. It's not expensive, it's like $30 or something. And the other reason why I got this is I used to have two different MacBooks. One was my work MacBook Pro and one was my personal MacBook Pro in the same color. And I could open them and then I would be able to separate and say, this is mine and this is work, whatever. It's just easy. I have different colored cases on them. Now I have a black MacBook Pro versus a silver one like this one. So it's easier. But if you have that problem, that's also, they come in different sizes. I link to the 14 inch because that's the one I have, but they have it for the Neo, they have it for the 16 inch. If you want something like this, like, this is really cool. And I said, it's really well done. It also looks nice. Like, I really like this design with, that highlights the app logo a little bit. So this is clear and then has like a little bit of texture here.
Yeah, that's so. Patrice, I was going to ask you, but I think now that you're moving it around, I can see that it is clear. So that's why you're seeing the Apple logo.
Yeah, exactly. It's clear. It's even clear here, like the, but a little bit less transparent here on the bottom. But this is basically clear. So if you had any stickers or whatever, you would still see that. So it has a light tint of the color, of course, but that's what you want. Mm-hmm. So as I said, this is my workbook. So because the other one isn't in use right now. So nice. I highly recommend that.
We could put stickers on it now too.
Yeah, you could, for sure.
Oh, that's true.
And it's basically two pieces, right? It's the top part. It just snaps on, like it has little lids that basically snap on, and the bottom part. But all the, like, you can also see that here on the side, the ports are nicely open, so like there's no problem. They're protected enough that like nothing happens to that, but they're open that you can just stick in whatever you want.
Nice, cool. And subtle.
Yeah, and they have a little, which the MacBooks don't have as much. They have a little like thing you can grip to open it properly.
I have never put a case on any of my Mac laptops.
I haven't either.
I have.
But I look at what you have and I'm thinking, you know, that could be reasonable.
Yeah. Just make sure whatever bag you're using, it fits in. The Finty, the TomTalk things, it fits easily in. But I've had other cases that were so snug that I had a hard time getting this in.
Yeah, I always put a clear shell on. And I know people argue that that's not a good thing, but same time, I can throw stickers on the clear shell and not have to worry about it on the aluminum.
Oh, yeah. So true. You can do that. Yep. You can just remove that when you want to sell it or whatever, or give it to someone else and you're done.
Yeah. Well, that's Marty, a problem putting the cover on. That's silly.
Yeah.
And Marty, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I too always put a clear shell on. And then when I get a new MacBook and, you know, go to sell or give away or whatever my old one, you take the shell off and you realize just how scratched up and all it is. Mm. But you can't really tell it when it's on, and B, all those scratches are now on the shell and not on the computer that I'm trying to sell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, plastic usually scratches a little bit more than the aluminum would, but it's still like I can clearly see it here. There's tons of scratches, as I said. And I have dropped this, so like, just saying.
Yeah, but I mean, even sliding your laptop in and out of a bag if it has metal zippers,
will
do it.
Yes.
You know, so
yeah,
I don't understand people that don't want to put a shell on it. Yes, I understand it adds a little bit of thickness, but for what you get back for it,
it depends on how you're using it. Is it, if you're traveling a lot, if you're taking it to the, I don't know, you're taking it to the like a coffee place or whatever. I mean, it adds up because it has little feet or whatever. It also lifts it a tiny little bit, so a little bit better air circulation. And if anything gets spilled, it's also not as easily getting into that. So there's a lot of benefits. Like the bottom, as you can see, it has. I've had no problems with heat. So that was one of the questions that people ask. It's like, I mean, usually you're not operating. Well, you could operate it in closed, but I usually have it open. But I've had zero issues, even with my M4 Max with heat. Like, I can run the CPUs at full tilt and it's not a problem.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, then I guess that means it's my turn now.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing an app today. And this is one that's been like so useful for me for so long. It's PasteBot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. My favorite clipboard manager. And I use this every freaking day. And I mean, there's a bunch of pasteboard managers or clipboard managers out there. And so there's plenty to try to find the one that works right for you. This is the right one for me because it has a lot of versatility in what it can do besides just keeping a list of things that I can paste that I've previously copied. So like you can set up filters And so you're collecting stuff in your clipboard, and then you can filter out to have just the things you need right now. And there's like search feature built in, and you can do keyboard shortcuts that give you more control over how you're using your clipboard. And it comes from Tapbots, and they make great software. And Pastebot's an app that's been around for a long time, so you know it's not one of those things that's just going to show up and then later on it doesn't get supported anymore. And it's not expensive. A perpetual license is like $12 or $13. So cool. There you go. Pastebot.
Yeah, I just went to buy it and I already own it.
So, oh, good. Well, now start using it.
That's a good start.
Start using it, yeah.
So, Marty, the thing for me with clipboard managers was a long time ago, I appreciated that I needed one. And so I tried a bunch out, and I bought Pastebot at the time, and then just ended up dropping using clipboard managers for years. Mm-hmm. And it was only because it took a while for it to click for me how it would be useful in my workflow. And when I finally found that place where it clicked, then I'm like, oh, I need to start trying these clipboard managers. And then eventually it was like, oh, I should try Pastebot, forgetting that I had actually bought a license for it previously. And when I reinstalled Pastebot and started using it, when I knew what my workflow was, that it fit, then it was like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I should have been doing this for years. And I had the opportunity because I had a license already. So
yeah, when I always clicks, forget that I,
there you go.
Yeah. I always forget that I have them running in the background and then how to access them, because it's sort of like, I don't need that right now. I need the thing that I did four steps ago right now. And then basically go back and copy and paste it again instead of going back and using something like Pastebot or remembering that I have it and I'm able to access it that way.
Yeah. No,
Some of them take up a whole lot of real estate too, which is another thing.
Yeah, and Pastebot doesn't, unless you want it to.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten hooked on LaunchBar's copy clipboard manager, but I also run Pastebot as well, because so I've got two of them running. Pastebot though writes the things that it copies to disk. LaunchBar keeps it in memory. So if I have a crash or a quit or something, mm-hmm. I lose that immediate history.
Yeah.
And LaunchBar is much more limited in how many items it can save. I think you can save like 1,000 items in Pastebot.
I don't know, but I've never had an issue with, oh crap, the thing that I need isn't in my Pastebot.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why. And now, Jeff, now I know there have been a lot of changes to both of them over the years. I want to, now you've got me wanting to go and check and see if Pastebot can mimic the parts of LaunchBar that I really like. Taking nothing away from LaunchBar, it's great, but it would be great if I only could run one clipboard manager.
Well, you should definitely do a comparison now, because you're right. Both apps have evolved over time. And, that for me, Pastebot is the one that hits a sweet spot, and it's very capable, tons of features.
Yeah.
I don't even use everything that it does. So, yeah. All right.
Great,
well,
great pick, Jeff. Great pick.
I think we had kick-ass picks all the way around this week.
We did.
Yeah. No one phoned it in. And that's saying something, because Dave is on his phone right now, phoning in.
It's true.
And even he didn't phone it in.
Dave just gave us the finger.
He did.
Index.
Or a finger. Okay, a finger. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for us to wrap this thing up. And as they say, holy forking shirt balls. You are all awesome. You have all given me that that energy boost that I needed this morning to be able to pretend like I can face the day. So I appreciate that. You are all awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Every week here on the Mech Show on Fridays and the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, social media links, projects, podcasts, all of that on my website, the Cool Things page that probably at this point is already updated with the latest cool thing because I can just push it out and it publishes. So thepatrice.com will take you there. And with a certain Jeff Gamet, I am doing a show called Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. We're in the middle, right in the middle of Stargate SG-1 right now, getting there. And sometime tonight, probably, when I get to it, there will be a Point of No Return, which is the next episode we're posting.
And I'm looking forward to finding out if my prediction for what the episode is all about is right. Spoiler, I'm never right.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Nope. All right. Dave, our mainland location, our remote reporter, where can people find you?
And I'm hoping there's going to be a Chuck episode sometime soon.
There might be.
Yeah. So
it can happen.
It could. You can find me at InTouch by iOS, InTouchByOS.com, YouTube channel, YouTube.com/InTouchByOS for shows. I'm on Mac, the Neo Notebook on Sunday nights with Marty and Eric. Monday nights, Vision Profiles, Marty and Eric. Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live with Chuck and the gang. When Thursdays, we record InTouch by iOS here on Fridays. And social media at DaveG65, Blue Sky, and Mastodon. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. And Marty, where can people find you?
Many of the same shows that Dave just mentioned, Neo Notebook Sunday, Vision Profiles Monday, and Chuck Show on Tuesday, Dave Show on Thursday, here on Friday morning. And you can find all the shows that I produce, am involved in, or am invited to be on at thepodtalk.net. That's the website that I've kind of centralized all that stuff. I'm rebooting something I started last fall called AI Productivity Workflow. And a short show, about 30 minutes, we invite guests in to talk about, some of them are doing research on AI and what their research and their writing has been around AI. And then is followed by how do they use it in their usual workflow. So practical uses of AI coming out of that. And that's done with co-host Morgan Walborn, who is joining, and she's doing research in AI. So she's giving me a kick in the booty to get that production going on that show again. Pleasure to be here. It's always a fun Friday. I look forward to it. It kind of caps off the beginning of a great weekend for me. So thanks for letting me join.
Glad you're here. Chuck, bring it home for us. Where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything, including right now interviews shot at NAB in Las Vegas. Those are hitting the feeds, along with the Road to MacStock at MacStockConference.com, where we're talking to the presenters, some of the guests, anybody we think that you need to hear from before you join us in Crystal Lake, Illinois in July. And the usual live show at 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights, our usual interviews. There's one, as we record this, there's one going to be released today with a Take Control author. You never know who's going to show up on Mac Voices. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. A special shout out to Mrs. Kathy. Dave, give her another hug for us, please.
Oh, thank you.
And okay, then for me, Social medias, Jay Gamut, pretty much everywhere. Except, interestingly enough, Jeff Gamut on LinkedIn. There was logic for it at the time, I bet, or not. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm most active, though, on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky.
I think LinkedIn forces you to use your full name, something like that.
Probably.
I see people using short names, too.
And, well, somehow or another, that's what it ended up being. But let's see. Okay, shows. Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I, we do The Context Machine. And we have a new newsletter that we've started up. So go sign up for it, contextmachine.io. And there's right at the top of the page, click the thing that says newsletter, and you can sign up. And let's see, then Patrice and I, as she pointed out, do Retro Rewatch. And you should check that out because if nothing else, it is a great comedy to watch me try and predict what the next episode will be and then to find out what it actually is. I'm wrong, like basically all the time. So, all right. Actually, a couple other things that I should note. I have revived Fresh Brewed Tales, the blog that I do when I'm talking the things that I witness in coffee shops. I write about them on Fresh Brewed Tales. So freshbrewedtales.com. And in the very near future, jeffgamut.com will be fully active. And so there'll be like a single place you can go to find out about all the stuff I'm doing. So, you know, projects in the works. Also, all of us except for Patrice, she's outside the United States, and you're safer for it. Those of us that are in the U.S., all of us here, we are going to be at Mac Stock in July. So come see all of us. We're actually all speakers this year.
Yep.
And I have a discount code. Do any of you have a discount code?
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So let's all of us put our discount codes in the live chat. And people can choose which one they want. It gets you $50 off your pass for Mac Stock.
Very cool.
And hold on. I'm putting that in right now. Mac Stock discount.
Yours is probably underpants, right?
You would think.
I actually know what
it's
yours is.
Actually DigiWizard.
Yes.
And so anyhow. Mac Voices.
Yeah, I have to talk to Mike that next year you get underpants.
He'll do it. I'm sure he would do it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be, okay, that's fine. So anyhow, come see us at Mac Stock in July. It's like therapy. It's like going to a family reunion, but in a good way. And it's just so much fun to hang out with so many cool people and learn things. Okay, I think I hit all of the stuff that needed to be hit for that. And so now I'll get back into the regular part where first I want to thank the four of you again. Not do I want to, I am thanking you. Thank you. You are all awesome. And you put a smile on my face. And I appreciate you. All of you for who you are. Hey, everyone that's watching and listening, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And all of you that watch and listen to the show recordings later, I'm so glad that you're part of the BTN family as well. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows. Aud Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting us on the British Tech Network. And everyone, tune in next Thursday for the Big Show. Come back again next Friday for the Mac Show, and have an awesome weekend.